This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard of this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you very much. The wise men. The wise men went on a journey. I wonder how many of you have been on a journey in the last week or so. Who's been on a journey in the last week or so? A few of you? Okay. Who's been on a journey in the fog in the last week or so? It's not much fun, is it? Especially if you're in a car and you're creeping along. And I've always found that what I want to see if I'm on a journey in the car in the fog is somebody else's tail light in front of me. I want to know that the direction I'm going is where the road is, not off into a ditch or onto somewhere else I don't want to be. And so a light in the fog can show us the way. Now, these wise men were looking for a sign that would show them the right way to go. But there wasn't really anybody's taillight that they could follow, because they were looking for a king, a special king, a new king. They weren't actually looking for a Messiah. They weren't looking for the person who was going to rescue the Jewish race. Everybody else, well, all the Jews, were hoping for a Messiah, somebody who was going to come and rescue them from the mess they were in. But these wise men had come from another country, somewhere far away. They had no idea who Jesus really was, but they knew that there was a new sign, a star in the sky, which told them that a king somewhere had been born. That's what they believed. And that's why they were looking for him. They'd followed their astrological signs, and they had gone to talk to Herod, because fair enough, they'd assumed that if there was a king, he was going to be born in a palace. When they went to see Herod on this journey, he was a little perturbed, to put it mildly, because he'd been appointed by the officials in Rome as the Roman governor of the area. He was a political appointment made by men. But if a star appeared in the sky and people believed that God had appointed a new king, then that might mean trouble for Herod. I wonder what you're going to follow this year. I wonder what your journey this year is going to look like. I wonder whether you follow a football team, or maybe there's somebody in the world of entertainment that you follow, someone you're looking forward to going to see in a concert maybe this year, or perhaps a particular football match, or I don't know, perhaps you're going on a special holiday this year. We've all got things that we look forward to, that we work towards, and that perhaps we could say we're following. So we're all on a journey. I want you to remember that word, because I'm going to ask you something at the end to see how awake you are this morning. So a journey. Now, on Friday, the church celebrates Epiphany. And I said to Phil, are you sure you don't mind if I do the Epiphany story this week? Because actually it should be next week. And he went, no, go for it. That's fine. The alternative, if you know anything about church liturgy or the, what's the thing called that tells us our readings? The lectionary, thank you. If you know what the lectionary is, you might like to go and look and see what the alternative was this morning. You'll see why I've chosen not to use that in an all-age service. So Epiphany, an Epiphany moment is like a light bulb moment. It's a moment when something suddenly becomes clear that wasn't clear before. The earliest epiphany I had that I can remember was when I was about 3 or 4. Actually, the epiphany came later. I may have told you this, but the moment happened when I was 3 or 4, when I went downstairs one morning to look underneath the flower pot that I had left outside the back door with my pet snail in it. And I lifted the flower pot, and the snail wasn't there. This was a great, baffling mystery to me for many years. Where had the snail gone that I had left under the flower pot? It wasn't strong enough to tip it over. The hole was too small for it to get through at the top. Where had the snail gone? Years later, I had a light bulb moment when I realized that my parents had released it when I'd been in bed. That's an epiphany, something that might baffle you for a while and then suddenly make sense. The wise men had a moment of epiphany when they got to the house and found Jesus there, a little baby. It was a light bulb moment for them. They realized that they were meeting a king, but not the king they'd expected, and so they offered him their gifts. And we talk about epiphany in the church as a moment of revelation as well, when God revealed himself. He'd revealed himself in this little baby to the shepherds. He'd revealed himself to Mary and to Joseph. But in this moment, he reveals himself to the rest of the world, to the Gentiles, to those who hadn't followed the story of the people of Israel, to the people who weren't the in crowd. This, at the very beginning of Jesus' life, is a moment that says, God has come for all of us, no matter where we start off. I wonder who is going to have an epiphany this year. I wonder who God is going to reveal himself to. Maybe through us. Maybe our neighbours, our friends. I think that people are probably far more open to the good news of Jesus than we assume. Maybe it's not going to be exactly how we imagine either when people find God or when God finds them. Those wise men were surprised, but they were wise, and so they recognized Jesus when they saw him. So we've had a journey, we've had an epiphany. Now we find the Savior. Jesus, this tiny baby, Emmanuel, God with us, is part of God's bigger plan. And it's marvelous that this plan included vulnerability and sacrifice. The wise men could have gone to Herod. God could have chosen to announce Jesus' birth in a palace in a magnificent way. They could have had parties, they could have had celebrations, they could have had fireworks. There could have been angels all over the sky and the whole of the nation saying, "Your king has come." But God didn't do it like that. He chose to come in humility as a vulnerable baby, bringing a sacrifice that would lead to salvation. I wonder, as we walk this coming year with our Saviour, whether we want the fireworks and the celebrations and the big bangs, or whether we're willing to be humble, whether we're willing to be vulnerable with God, whether we're willing to make sacrifices as we follow Jesus this year. The gifts that the wise men brought spoke of sovereignty, but also of sacrifice and of suffering. Gold for a king, frankincense and myrrh that reminded people about prayer and about death. So we've got, I'm giving you a lot of clues here, the journey, the epiphany, the saviour. Anyone guess where we're going next? Understanding. Understanding led to worship. When the wise men arrived, they bowed down and they offered their gifts. I wonder if we'll grow in our faith. As God surprises us this year, we will begin to understand more about him and about ourselves and about how we fit into his marvelous plan. And I wonder, as we understand more about how much God loves us, what the gifts are that we'll bring, that we'll offer and share. Because we all have gifts to bring. God's made us with gifts to bring. And finally, we've got service, or being sent out. The end of our story, the wise men left by a different route. They were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, because Herod didn't have a very nice plan. So they went home a different way. Things are never the same after an encounter with Jesus. I wonder if there's something that you'd like to do differently this year. Whether there's an aspect of your life that frustrates you or annoys you. Something you've been wanting to do for a long time that you think would complete who you are and what you do. Is there something where you need to meet with Jesus so that you can go a different way from here? New Year resolutions are always talked about on the 1st of January. Sometimes they're talked about and forgotten by the 2nd of January. I've had plenty of those. But I wonder if your resolution today was to listen a bit more to God, to follow his directions, to allow him to meet with you in new and surprising ways and places, perhaps, this year. I had one final thought, really, thinking about where the wise men expected to meet this king and where they actually did. I wonder where the palaces are in our lives, the places where we have preconceived ideas of how things should be, how God should work, where we want to meet him, and whether actually maybe there are villages in our lives as well, places that are a bit more humble, a bit more ordinary, where actually we really need to meet with Jesus, because those are the places that we live. Where are the palaces and where are the villages in our lives? Okay, so I did have a PowerPoint for this morning, which I decided not to use because I thought I'd give you that little challenge instead. As we've looked at this journey, this story in Matthew, there's been something that's kind of run through it all. And of course, it is the answer to every Sunday school question. Can anybody tell me what it is? Jesus. Yes. So what was the J of Jesus? Journey. We're all on a journey. What was the E? Epiphany, that light bulb moment that we have on our journey. What about the first S? Saviour. Absolutely. In lots of biblical writing, there's a pattern which I go on about a lot where the middle of the passage has the most important message. The middle of our message is the Saviour, the most important. Okay, so journey, epiphany, Saviour. What came next? Understanding. May our understanding grow this year. And finally, service or being sent out. That's right, because there's no point us meeting with Jesus if we're not then willing to be sent out and to serve him in our coming year. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are the beginning, the middle, and the end of everything important in our lives. We pray this year that as we take our journeys with you, that you would guide us and lead us, that you would give us moments of realization, epiphanies, where we see you. We pray that as we know you to be our Savior, we would be willing to share that good news with those around us, and that as our understanding grows, you would indeed send us out in service for your name. Amen.